Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Greystone Logistics Q2 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you have an opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your telephone keypad. Please note this call is being recorded, and I'll be standing by if you should need assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Brendan Hopkins. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining us for our Q2 results. We have a brief safe harbor, and then we'll be getting started on the call. Except for historical information contained herein, the statements in this conference call are forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that may cause our actual results in future periods to differ materially from forecasted results. With that said, I would like to turn the call over to Warren Kruger, CEO of Greystone Logistics.
Thank you, Brendan. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the call. First off, I'd like to start with my friend and investor, Joel Marcus. Unfortunately, passed away, and he's a great friend of ours, and many of you may or may not have known him, but he's a really good person and very bright guy, and I'm just sorry that we won't be able to participate with him anymore. So after that, let me talk about what's gone on with Greystone. I've been disappointed in the first 6 months' top line, but we are, as I mentioned last quarter, things are falling into place as I wanted them to. Our extrusion, we've actually sold some of our extrusion line, which is the hollow lumber that we refabricated and made into what looks like a wooden pallet, but it's a hollow plastic extruded pallet. And we are still awaiting a good size order from Toyota. So we're excited about that. I was with Gary Morris, who runs that end of it this week in Indianapolis, and he has a lot of other opportunities that are now working. He's actually at the plant in Jasper today. So he was also in Jasper, Indiana. He also is. We've done some things with Berry Plastics, and he was there yesterday at Berry, and Berry wants to take all their plastic from their operations, the waste plastic, and they want to put it back into plastic pallets. And we've been doing some of that for them, and they're going to, looks like they're going to increase that with us. So that's fun in that regard. I also mentioned last quarter that we were waiting on some good news from our Walmart, and we've been filling some import facilities. Well, I'm pleased to say that we have another import facility in California that we have been supplying for. We supplied some. We went out there December 15th and got a purchase order for a relatively less than $500,000, but we started there, and I just got an email today that they're going to get on a regular schedule of taking units out there. So we're excited about that. It's a big, big, big import facility, and so we're excited to continue to work with Walmart. They've been a fabulous customer, and I think we're going to continue to do a lot more with them. We have been waiting for a can and bottle pallet that we made of tulle. It came in, and I'd mentioned this previously. The tulle was, there were some adjustments that need to be made, so we had to send it back overseas to make those adjustments. That tulle's back in, so we are now, and it's a large pallet. It's a 44 by 56 pallet for aluminum cans and PET bottles, that type of product. And so we've had some people waiting for us to have the tool back. So I think that we'll start getting some orders on that product as well in the second half of the year. Our big customer, IGPS, they're a big pallet leasing company. So as you know, if you go into a Costco and you see a plastic pallet, that's a rented pallet, and that's one that we've manufactured for IGPS. They've been a good customer, and they continue to be a good customer. They're a good group. They have a good model, and my only push with them is I'd like them to take another $1 million a month from us. So I'm working on that as well. Again, I'm sorry about the softness of the first half of the year. There's a lot of movement within the industry. It was really almost, as I've said in the past, it was a weird year, soft year. No one was spending money. And I will tell you that it's been busy. And I had a call from a consultant who took us into Nestle on the December the 18th. So it's weird that I rarely do I go on calls from the December 15th on. And in this call, there were probably, oh gosh, a dozen people associated with it, either online or in the room. So Nestle's is looking to do something. Again, they want to get away from wood. I was at a closure company up in Indianapolis yesterday. The closure company, again, they send 300,000 pallets out a year on wood. And they're ready for a change. So we were talking about how best to serve them and what type of product they need and could they do a closed loop. In this world of, I think we'll see a lot more closed loops within organizations where we manage a small pool for them. Not like an open pool like IGPS, but a closed pool. But, other than that, we feel good about our operations. We got a beautiful new rating for our safety and efficiency, so we're excited about that. I'll put out a press release on that. And operationally, I'm happy. I mentioned Mexico in my press release, and we have got some orders from Mexico, and we're considering moving a piece of equipment down to Mexico. We've manufactured under contract down there 2 years ago, and we did okay, but I was a little, I just wasn't satisfied with the supplier we had. And I've got someone who would operate our own equipment down there if we decide to send some down there. Because we have some opportunities with AB and Constellation brands, and those are the type of people you would move equipment for because they need pallets on an ongoing basis. Other than that, I'd love to open it up for questions and be happy to answer anyone's question that may have.
At this time, we'll open the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad, and you will be placed into the queue in the order received. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing pound and one. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad now. And our first question comes from Anthony Perala. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey there, Warren. How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for taking the question here quick. Just two quick ones for me. Could you, in the press release, you mentioned some of the weakness due to a customer who hit their annual budget in the fourth quarter. Could you just speak a little bit more to that and then maybe how you expect business to trend with that customer maybe throughout calendar 2025 and into 2026?
Well, I'm glad you answered. Great question. That actually is IGPS. We have a contract with them to provide a certain number of pallets, and that's where I'd like to get another $1 million a month out of them. Once we cap out on our PO, they really don't have any more budget money to spend. Just like so many people, they're pretty rigid. Just because we can make it, they won't buy it if it's not in the budget. So anyway, that's the one I was mentioning.
Okay, excellent. And then just could you clarify, it was mentioned in the press release with the new CFO arrangement with Forvis, but could you clarify on the share buyback if you started buying back in December or if it was a 30-day wait period from the day that was mentioned in that press release? I was a little confused.
Another great question, and we have started buying back shares. And we'll report that on a quarterly basis. And then any any large blocks that we buy, we'll also put out a press release on any large blocks. But we won't the small stuff that we're buying back, the small numbers, we'll put that out in our queue, and we'll put the numbers that we bought back on our next filing.
Okay, excellent. That's it for me. Look forward to talking again soon. Thanks.
Yep, thank you.
And our next question comes from Michael Gustitis. Please go ahead, Michael.
Thank you. Mike, I was looking to take a slightly different approach if I could. I was wondering if I could make a few statements and ask you
yes.
to either affirm those or correct them. Okay, great. Thank you. The stated goal of $60 million in sales looks like it might be a little bit tough to reach now after the first 6 months, but how close, or do you think you're going to come pretty close to that number? Maybe not quite reach it, but come fairly close?
Yeah, I do. We have one I didn't mention. We have a big customer that's been that had purchased through us over the years that we have a $5 million PO with them it's new. So that'll come in the latter 2 months of our year. So I think that 60 is achievable. So yeah, we're going to work hard to get there. I mean, with this new Walmart order and the other one, and some of the things we have in the pipeline, yeah, we may very well hit that. And I have to fill up. I really with this new equipment we put in over the last couple of years. I've mentioned it before. What I'm doing with, and we have boots on the ground now. We are out there, and we are actively. In the past, we used stocking and non-stocking distributors, and we didn't have that much capacity. And now that we've put in and spent the money on the capacity, we are literally out there pounding the pavement, and we are going to fill equipment. That's what we're going to do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you very much. And the next one and the last one was, can you tell me how much of a – I feel like there's a big push towards plastic with tech companies and the use of automation to move pallets. They have to be precise. Can you just kind of elaborate a little bit on what the demand is and what the market is right now going from wood to plastic?
Yes, I can. I will say that all this automation, and there is so much automation going on now. It's amazing. But there's good and bad with automation for us, just so you know. Okay, on the good side, when I get an order, like I did, we did Trinkera Family Estates, which is Sutter Home Wines. They're the second largest winery in America. We did it about 8 years ago. We put 70,000 units in their totally automated facility. No human touches their pallets or their product. It's just amazing. And, of course, they haven't broken one pallet in 7 or 8 years because it's the fork truck. It's the human element that damages these things. So it's not in an open loop where it can be pushed off a truck or stabbed with a fork tine or stolen. And so those things are good. And so we're going to see a lot more of those opportunities as warehouses go to automation and they can't have wood pieces, wood chips falling down. So that's really what we're seeing with Walmart is Walmart's cleaning. Walmart gets it. I mean, they are a good group and they understand that consistency and so forth is very, very important in cleanliness. So to answer your question is there is, and I can't give you a number, but I will tell you that it's millions and millions. The way I look at things, CHEP, who's a rental pallet company that rents wooden pallets, CHEP is owned by a Australian firm. And they rent and have in their inventory in the United States over 100 million pallets that they just rent. And they're a blue wooden pallet. You'll see them in the marketplace. Well, where I am in my world is one day those 100 million pallets will be plastic pallets and not wooden pallets. And it's heading that way. And, it's not a sprint, but it's a marathon. And we are positioned very, very well for that marathon. And so, and we want to accommodate people. I like to have a lot of new products so I can fill up. It's nice to have, if I have 50 molds and every mold gives me $1 to $5 million, I'll be a happy camper. And so, to answer your question, it is, unfillable at this point. You know, it's really, there's all kinds of room out there. I can't even give you a guesstimate on how many units are out there other than what I just did with the CHEP example.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you very much for your leadership. Very excited to be in Great.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for being an investor.
Our next question comes from Robert Littlehale. Please go ahead, Robert.
Hi, Warren. How are you?
How are you?
Good, thank you. Could you just give us a little more color as far as the sales side of the business? I mean, I know you like to sell, and you've been so successful through the years, but who do you have around you? And just can you kind of talk about how your sales team approaches new opportunities?
Yes, Robert. And you were there in the early days where we didn't have, I mean, we didn't have any excess money. And that's why we originally set up a stocking and non-stocking distributors, because it was a way for us to, you know, I would go out and work with them and I didn't have to have boots on the ground. And over the years, in the last 22 years, you know, I tried to have salespeople that, and I didn't succeed. I had poor success. And in what's happened in the last 2 years has been my plant manager, Ron Skelhaus, who's worked with me for 18 years and is a fine human being. He had a hip issue that prevented him from spending a lot of time on floor. So we have a new general manager, and Ron has been working with me out in the marketplace, and he's the one who has he just is so good with customers. He's so good with Walmart. He's so good with, Simplot. He's just really good. So he's really helped me a lot. Mentioned a gentleman named Gary Morris. Gary has been in this industry for 20 years. He's the one that we bought his equipment that was extrusion equipment he developed. And it is, if you haven't seen it, if you'll go to the website, go to graystonepallets.com, our website, and go in the media section. And if you'll go, there's a video of about, if you scroll down in the investor section, you'll see our robotic facility in Jasper making those parts. And my point is with Gary, he understands injection, he understands thermal forming, he understands extrusion, and he also has customer experience and contacts within the industry. So we have, in this world, these are long sales cycles, and he has some things. He has a bottler that he has that I think that we're going to build a new tool for. He has another big company in Atlanta that it's really a massive opportunity. And when I say massive, anything 50,000 plus is good. When you go over 100,000, 200,000, those are really, really good opportunities. Those can fill a machine for 1 to 2 years kind of thing. Bob, to answer your question, those guys are really helping me out. And it's really been a reprieve. We're also working, I have an investment in an extrusion company, and that extrusion company there's two companies, Trienda and Penda. And they have a lot of salespeople. They have a lot of boots on the ground. And we've started working more hand in glove with them. It's been separation of church and state between the two of us, but we're starting to use their salespeople. And their salespeople will say, as an example, the customer I was with yesterday, they couldn't use a thermoform pallet because they needed a base of some type. And thermoforms are more two-dimensional pallets. They're not three-dimensional, so they don't generally have bottoms. And so they said, hey, they turned that over to us. So that's one where they'll win and we'll win should we be fortunate enough to get the customer. So my sales basis has really, it's growing. And I have another gentleman I was on the phone with today that we're talking about going to work with us also, because he's got tremendous experience in this industry. And it's a hard, it's long sales cycles, and it's a hard cycle. But just to answer your question, Bob, those guys are really helping out, and we're starting to see the fruits of their labors.
The other question I had, you mentioned Nestle, and they finally said, you know, we have to get away from wood. In sort of delineating the reasons why they want to get away from wood, what did they tell you? What did they say? What was the motivating factor in their minds?
One thing about wood, the problems associated with it don't go away. So when you read on our website, and we put bullet points for why plastic pallets are better, it really is, it's true. The, when you hit a, if you go into a Costco or a Sam's and you see wood on the floor, you see those pallets and you'll see the broken lead edges. And I will tell you, when you go to these distribution centers and they're using these automated guided vehicles, and they hit wood that's broken off, it stops the vehicle, it stops the process, it really becomes a pain. And then the nails kind of inch out, and they'll cut the bottom of box, and goods will go on the floor. It just is amazing. It really happens, and it's not like it doesn't happen. And then there, you also have the, with wood, wood can be contaminated. Yesterday I talked to a gentleman, and he said, you know, we had these wooden pallets in a 250,000 square foot facility, and they got moldy. And he said we had to disinfect, we had to take all those out of there and disinfect the entire facility. So these are real things that happen in real life. And eventually people get tired of doing it the same way they've always done it. And so that's why we're seeing the shift, continue to see the shift from wood to plastic.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Hope you're well, Bob.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad now. And at this time, there appears to be no further questions. I'll turn the call back over to our presenters for closing remarks.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for being on the call, and I'm excited about the next two quarters and about the calendar year 2025. There's just a lot of things going on in our industry, and it just takes that one little push to get another $12 million a year, or $24 million a year, and $36 million a year. And I'd most certainly, we need to head towards that $100 million revenue marks, and that's where we want to go. We want to get there. We want to continue with our momentum. We're going to continue to look at sales opportunities, and if there's growth in acquisitions, we'll look at small acquisitions as well. We'll look at partnering up with people to move our product, and hopefully, ideally, we'd like to continue to look at our listing and what we need to do to potentially uplist. So, appreciate everybody being there. Brendan, do you want to close with a few comments?
No, I think we covered everything. I mean, I would say there would be one question that wasn't asked that I'll probably get, which you might as well answer now. I know we've been engaged in looking for a new CFO. Just wondering if there's any updates as to how that process is coming along, if there's any candidates in the pipeline, that type of thing.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I will say that we went through two, we had the long time, wonderful, good friend, Bill Rahal, was my friend for a quarter century, and he finally said at 83 years old, he said, Warren, my wife just doesn't want me to do this anymore. And he was such a wonderful CFO and such a good friend. And then we stumbled a couple times trying to replace him. And this Forbes, what we did with Forbes is we need to make sure our filings are done promptly and correctly. And that they're a big firm, firm across America, and I feel very comfortable with them and getting our Qs and our K filed. On the financial side, we continue to generate good numbers internally. We have good security and monitoring of what we're doing on the accounting front. And right now, we're going to use Forvis as a CFO overviewer. They're going to, if CFO questions, they review our financials, they look at them, they make suggestions, and I like the arrangement. I do believe that we will find the right person, but I am not going to rush into it. Greystone is we don't make 1,000 parts. We have 25 to 30 different SKUs. And we have a good system in place, as I mentioned, and we have good oversight. And so I'm comfortable right now staying where we are with Forvis. And then when the right candidate arises, and they will, we will bring them on board.
Okay. That's
Thank
it.
You.
I guess just keep up the good work, and I'm looking forward to the second half of this year showing the promise that it seems to be.
Great. Great. Thanks, everyone, so much.
This does conclude today's Greystone Logistics Q2 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect and have a great day.